Selling his tears, going far away, far away. Oh, may the last one burn into flame.
Freedom. How about y'all? Freedom, everybody. That was the theme yesterday at the DNC's primetime speeches. What a lineup it was. Got Mayor Pete Buttigieg. I mean, he's so gosh darn likable. You, of course, had Milwaukee's very own Cavalier Johnson, Mayor Cavalier Johnson, with a slice of the spotlight, if you will. A brief but memorable set of comments from Mayor Cavalier Johnson last night. And, of course, Oprah. Gee, Brian, turns out Oprah, she's kind of good at talking and things.
Sounds like it. And it's pretty cool because she's kind of like me. She represents both Milwaukee and Chicago. Although I didn't really...
With your Cubs hat on today.
Come on. They did not win, but they're playing this afternoon. They're playing right now, actually.
And then, of course, Coach Walls. I mean, these were great speeches. We'll take a listen.
You can sleep when you're dead, Maggie.
Yes, we can sleep when we're dead. The work remains. We have the ball. We are charging down the field. We're down by a field goal. We will sleep when we're dead. It is time to move forward.
Yeah. We are matriculating the ball down the field.
Yeah. Brian, you and I and our good friend Chris Casper were at the Green Mill last night as Tim Walls was finishing up his speech, and there I was with my ice-cold, well-earned martini, crying like a baby on a bar stool, watching the governor speak.
It was awesome. Shout-out to Nicole and Lauren. You guys are Laura, I believe. I always get Lauren and Laura messed up. Either way, the shots were fantastic. And
it was fabulous bartenders at the Green Mill.
And it was cool because they were like, you guys are from the DNC? Tell me more.
Yeah, they were so excited about it. I was walking through the Green Mill sort of dance floor bandstand area, someone saw me with my creds on, and they said, have you been at the DNC? What is it like, Maggie? And I said, it is a damn near religious experience every day, becoming more and more inspired. Brian, I do think one of our special guests may be wandering around there for us. Folks, I'm not even going to tell you who I've got lined up today because my head will explode. We have people double booked, but you know me. We will get everybody a shot on the mic. Somehow I will stitch it together. That's right. I think everybody was ready for Oprah to say, and you get a something, and you get a something. I was personally looking for Oprah to come out maybe with a little tongue-in-cheek and say, and you get a pardon, and you get a... Oh, wait, that would be the other team. That would be the other guy that gives away the pardons. But let's just jump right in here, Jess. I think we've got some pretty incredible sound. I liked one of Oprah's first laugh lines. Let's take a listen, Jess. This is Oprah talking about cat ladies. I can't imagine how that came up.
And if the place happens to belong to a childless cat lady, well, we try to get that cat out too.
Yeah, just a great line. I'm saying, waving to Lieutenant Governor of the state of Wisconsin, Sarah Rodriguez, as she walks by, she may very well join us. Many of the delegates, many of the elected officials dressed in suffragette white today. Lots of beautiful folks walking around in white. But I thought that was such a great line from Oprah last night. This was in reference to, again, the theme of caring for one another, and that, you know, when your neighbor's house is on fire, you don't ask them, Brian, what religion are you? What is your stance on tax policy? Those are not the things that come up when your neighbor's house is on fire. You don't ask them if they're childless cat ladies and they have no stake in the future. You just go help them because that's what Americans do. Speaking of an American who has served his country for a very long time in combat in Iraq, I'm really excited to have with me retired Colonel of the Army, West Point graduate, former U.S. Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, John Tien. Welcome to the Maggie Dawn Show, John. Thanks so much for making time.
Yeah, Maggie, thanks for having us. And thanks to really this great Midwest. I understand we're going out to some viewers or listeners in Wisconsin and Michigan. Is that right?
Yeah, all across the state of Wisconsin. We pick up a little of east Minnesota, a little bit of the Chicagoland area. And if you're really lucky and you're tuned in correctly, a wee bit of western Michigan as well. Welcome,
okay.
John.
Okay, I appreciate that. Thanks to all of
you.
You
know, the battleground states, the important states.
Yeah.
John, you served in the Biden administration. You served in the Obama administration. You had three combat tours in Iraq. You have helped with the G7 negotiations.
That's right.
What haven't you done, sir?
I've never dunked a basketball.
Okay, well, neither have I, though I can palm one if it's a ladies' basketball.
Oh, that's great. That's probably better than me.
I'm 6 feet tall, so I can actually, the ladies' basketball I can palm. I wanted to just dive right in there and ask you, I myself served in government for nearly 15 years, mm-hmm. and I used to call myself proud to be a bureaucrat. Mm-hmm. I'm a subject matter expert. I have something to share with elected officials to help them make the best decisions they can.
Right.
You've commanded troops. You've been in an advisory capacity, a leadership capacity, a negotiating capacity. Here's what I wanted to ask you,
right.
John. How important is it to have competent experts and people that lead with honor and dignity throughout government, not just in the very highest office, but throughout these critical positions, both in our armed services, in our security apparatus, but also across the administrative departments of the executive branch?
You know, Maggie, I appreciate that question. Number one, it's a question I want to answer. But number two, it really gives me a chance to talk about the great civil servants
yes.
in the Department of Homeland Security. I was the Deputy Secretary of Homeland Security, as you said. It's the third largest federal department in the United States government. 250,000 great Americans, all of whom raised their right hand, like a lot of state, I think, oaths of office,
yep.
local folks as well, that raise your right hand, just like we did in the military, to support and defend the Constitution of the United States of America against all enemies, foreign and domestic. Maggie, and you know what? We tend to give a lot of credit. I think it's appropriate to folks like J.D. Vance, Governor Walz, myself, Sergeant Major Estrada, right? You know, all these other different folks and everything. And we should be giving that same amount of respect to bureaucrats, to civil servants. And out of those 250,000, we had the Biden administration or Trump administration has this tiny layer of policymakers. And that's how it should be.
Yes.
That's the way the constitutional framers set it up. It's about 100 political appointees, Department of Homeland Security. Those civil servants, on day one, I walked in, and there was somebody who was appointed during the Trump administration. His name is, he didn't say, hey, John, I want to give you, give me credit on the Maggie show.
Yes. Right?
You know, talk to Wisconsin
yes.
about him. But it's a fact. His name is Tex Aulis. He was a Marine. He's a fixed-wing pilot, and he served at the head of the Secret Service. And now he's the acting undersecretary for the Department of Homeland Security for Management. And Tex Aulis, even though he's a Trump by the Trump administration, mm-hmm. I looked at him and said, look, Tex, I don't know that much about DHS. I've been a chief operating officer before, but I'm going to rely on your advice and good counsel on programs that are going to make things safer for the United States of America and things that are better for the Department of Homeland Security. And that's all I ask of you. And for two and a half years, that's what he did.
Yes.
And Secretary Mayorkas, at the very end, gave him the highest level internal department award and asked Mr. Aulis, Major General retired Tex Aulis, to stay on until the end of the administration. That's the kind of civil servants that we need.
Yes. What you're saying there, if I can summarize, John, is it's nonpartisan. It's in good faith. People try their gosh darn hardest,
mm-hmm.
and they swear an oath to the very same Constitution, both state and federal, that you swear to as someone who served in the armed services. This is my experience as well. I tell people this as many times as I possibly can on my show, mm-hmm. that 99.999% of the people that I have encountered in public service are there trying to do the best job that they can, that they respect the people who place the trust in them to do the best that they can.
That's right.
And to do it without fear or favor and without partisan rancor. That is the central functioning of government. That's the way we want it. I got to ask the question then, when you read a document or read the summaries, because who wants to read 892 pages of Project 2025, yeah, it's a little scary.
I mean,
wiping out civil service and basically putting in place of that political litmus testing and loyalty testing, this does not make government work better, would it?
It does not. And, you know, it's interesting. The Trump Vance administration is trying to distance themselves from Project 2025 and saying, we don't know what's going on. Well, look, the facts are, like, you know, the Trump Vance team always like to talk about facts. It feels more like fabrication, quite honestly. But I'll give you this one fact. I think it's about 150 former Trump administration officials who are on Project 2025. The guy who led it, you know, wrote a book, who wrote the foreword, J.D. Vance.
Right.
It's coming largely sponsored by the Heritage Foundation, which last time I looked was effectively a Republican think tank. And a pretty, pretty traditional conservative
used
one
to
as
be,
well.
At least,
it
right?
used to be, right? Now, all of a sudden, they're like, I don't know. Are we associated with the Republican Party?
Yeah, the executive director of the Heritage Foundation flying Trump around in the private plane. I mean, like, these are inextricably intertwined organizations, the current GOP and Project 2025 and the Heritage Foundation.
And the reason I let off that whole sort of like their pushback on Project 2025 is just absurd because, A, what all the things I just said. But in particular, let's talk about what you're talking about is this Trump Vance thing called Schedule F.
Yes.
Right? They want to come in and they're like, well, we don't know anything about Project 2025. I'm not even going to honor that with a comment now. But what I will say is at the very end of the Trump administration, they try to put in Schedule F.
Tell people what Schedule F is. So, we got about a minute left.
Okay, Schedule F, sorry to be a little bit of a policy wonk, but effectively what they wanted to do is say, if we think that you were in any kind of a policy position and without merit, we can fire you.
Yes.
Not just like reassign you, but just fire you.
Fire you flat out,
flat
without
out,
cause.
Without cause, no rights. We don't do that in the private sector. I was in there for a long time. So it is putting a fear into the career of civil servants. And these are folks who raise their right hand to support and defend the Constitution. And they are hyper competent, quite honestly, more competent than me. But what I owed and what Harris Walz will owe is the opportunity to set the policy and the strategic direction for the United States of America. And we are a representative government. And I think that's what they'll do. Because I think that's what's going to happen. I know that's what's going to happen. And by the way, what did Coach Walz say last night? You write a playbook, you're going to follow it. That's what Project 2025 is all about.
That's retired Army Colonel John Tien.